Thank you, Jane. As we said before, we believe the Lord is the healer. Hallelujah. Well, those who were around last week and those who saw us online know that we're in what I think Pastor Robin called a mini-series. That's more than two Sundays. And it's called Broken and Released. And we know that we looked at the two stories last week, the story of Mary, who had the alabaster jar, and she broke it and allowed the perfume, she poured the perfume out over Jesus, his head and his body and his feet, and allowed the perfume to fill the house. And then we looked at the second story, because the first was just an outworking of the second story. That was 6 days later when Jesus died. And Jesus, as it were, the alabaster jar, full of perfume, full of grace and truth. And he was broken for us. And he released his own aroma, the aroma of Jesus, that filled the whole world and continues to do so today, filling the earth with his presence. And now we come to the third story. Who is the third story about? We've had Mary and we've had Jesus. The third story is about you and your story. It's an individual story, and yet there are many of them. You are the alabaster jar. Now, I want you to do something this morning. You've got to use a little bit of imagination, but I want you to hold your palm out like that. You can do this at home as well. And then I want you to put it up in front of your face, because we're going to pretend or imagine that it's a mirror. Okay? And you're going to look at yourself in the mirror. I wonder what you see. Isaiah 53 and verse 2 says that Jesus was nothing to look at. There wasn't anything in him that drew you to him at all. And as I look around, we know that we're not particularly great to look at. That is, of course, all excepting Pastor Robin. You know, we know that Pastor Robin is handsome and debonair, chic, suave, flowing hair. No, I'm getting carried away here. I'm going to just make sure he's not looking at me and wagging his finger. No, he isn't there. Okay. So we're not that special on the outside. You see, the jar, the alabaster jar, is not special. But here's an amazing thing. The world is obsessed with the jar. Even though it's only skin deep. I'm going to embarrass you now, ladies. In this country, do you know how much is spent by the women in this country in making the jar look nice per year? £10 billion. And though I'm sad to say it, the men are on a journey to catch up. £10 billion to make the jar look good. The world has always done it, of course, from ancient times. They put chalk on themselves and on their hair to make it look white. We know that Eleanor Rigby kept her face in a jar by the door. And now we have all manner of things. We're bombarded on the television by things. But the sad thing is that although the world is obsessed and it argues incessantly about the jar, black, white, male, female, tall, short, fat, thin, the kingdom of God says, or the Bible says, that the kingdom of God is not interested in these things at all. It says that in the kingdom of God, there is no male or female. There is no black or white. There's no ethnicity at all. There's not even bosses and workers. In the kingdom of God, it's meaningless. No, God is interested in what is on the inside of the jar. Do you remember the story of Samuel being sent by God to anoint the new king? It's written there in 1 Samuel. And he says to Samuel, Samuel, you're the main prophet, you're the priest here. I want you to go and anoint. I've decided on a new king. And I'm going to get rid of Saul. And I'm going to have a new king. I want you to go and anoint him. And he's one of Jesse's sons. So along Samuel goes with his pot of oil. And he says to Jesse, get your sons together. And he lines them all up. And he goes to the first one. And Samuel thinks, wow, this is a big lad. He's a good lad. And we know from later on that several of the older brothers, they were all in the army. So they're all tough guys. And he goes to the first one. He says, Lord, this must be the one. Is this the one? The Lord said, no. Oh. Well, he looks like a good jar to me. We go to the next one. Is this the one? No. Is this the one? No. And he goes down the line until he gets to the end one. And God says no to that one as well. He said, well, hold on, Jesse. What's going on here? Have you got any more sons? And he said, oh, there's a little lad out in the field. He's looking after the sheep. Well, you better call him and get him in then. And he comes in, and David comes in, a little lad, probably 13 or 14, that's all. And Samuel goes to him and says, well, he doesn't look much, a bit like us. And God said, that's the one. Samuel says, why is that? He said, because he has a heart like my heart. You see, on the inside, he's like me. It doesn't matter what he's like on the outside. It's the inside that counts. Do you know, there are two types of people in this world. I know you've heard that lots of times. There's male and female. I know there's lots of different things. But there's two types of people on the inside. The ones that have darkness on the inside and the ones that have light on the inside. I want to look at the darkness first. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things. In some versions it says, it doesn't have a cure. Let's see what Galatians says about it. I'm going to put this up. This is terrible. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, it says. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Another version says, and anything similar. Darkness. Darkness. I'm going to ask you to do a hard thing. I want you to pick up the mirror again. And I want you to look. But this time we're going to look on the inside. And I want you to be honest and say, is there darkness or is it light? If there is darkness this morning, you urgently need Jesus. If there is darkness, get saved. If there is darkness, cry out right now. If you're at home, cry out right now and say, Lord, come and break the darkness in my life. Come and take it away. Come and bring your light. Break through the darkness. If you do that, if you've done that, just put a note on the chat so that we know and we'll pray for you. I want to pray for you at the end. If there's darkness, if there's nothing but darkness, cry out now for it to change. You know, the Bible says in Romans 6 that when we were baptized, we went into the water and our old life was left behind because we died with Christ. It was a bit like the bottle being washed out and all the darkness in it being taken away. It was washed clean. I am a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. He has made us alive in Christ Jesus. I have been set free from the law of sin and death. I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. God has given me a new heart and written his law on it. He is at work in me, both to will and to do his good purpose. He has given you his Holy Spirit to grow his fruit in you. And we looked at that about Jesus last week. What is the fruit that grows in you in the light? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can you see how those are so different to the list we read earlier? Can you see the difference between the darkness and the light? Can you see the change it makes in a person's life? And I want to address a difficult problem. Because I know that some of you, when you look in the mirror, you see light and dark. So which is it? Because I'll tell you there are only two. There's no shades of grey. I'm going to give you like a picture. You all know what a dimmer switch is. You go into a room which is in total darkness, and you turn on the light on a dimmer switch, and the darkness goes. But you know it could be brighter. And you know that if you turn the dimmer switch up, it will be brighter. I want to suggest to you that that's really what it's like. The darkness is actually not there. It's gone because the switch was put on in the first place. But there are times when it's not very bright. But I want to tell you the darkness has gone. I want to share with you a very important verse. We're going to look at it. It's in Romans chapter 6. Let's look at that, Romans chapter 6 and 10 and 11. This first, the verse 10, talks about Jesus. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Okay? Jesus died once for all, and his life is now in God. Now, listen, in the same way, count yourself dead. You died with Christ. The darkness went and the light has come. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, the enemy has a vested interest in telling you the darkness is still there. He wants to keep you in the darkness. He wants to keep telling you that, oh, that's part of that bad list. But you are to reckon yourself dead. You are to live, in other words, you are to live a dead life and alive in Christ. You are to live that the old has gone and the new has come. And even when it seems a bit dim, you need to say, but no, Lord, I live in the light. I live in your light. I live in your life because the old has gone. The old darkness was killed and buried with Christ in baptism. And you are to believe and reckon that you died and you're now full of God's life. And that you live in the light. If you need to, go to the switch and turn the light up a bit. Work on what's the darky slight, the sort of the hazy bits. The scripture also says that we have to work out our salvation. It doesn't mean say, oh, that's great, I'm just going to bathe in the sunshine here and do nothing. It's not like that. The fruit of the Spirit still has to grow. It still has to be watered and encouraged. So we've looked at the pot and we've looked at what is inside the pot. I want to tell you that what is inside the pot is the light of God. I want to tell you that what is inside the pot is precious. It's God's life bursting to get out. So we know from the story before, what comes next? Break the pot. Smash the pot. Break the jar. Release what is inside. The Bible says that we have the treasure of God in an earthen vessel. We have the treasure of God in a clay pot. We have the treasure of God in something that's not that valuable. Break the pot. Release the fragrance. Mary did it. Jesus did it. You in your story, do it. Release it. Moses, out in the wilderness, he went up the mountain to meet God. He went up twice, actually. We're talking about the second time. And the second time, when he came down the mountain, the clay pot that was Moses was so smashed that when he came down, his face shone. Wow, the people said. And in the end, it was such an embarrassment that he had to cover his face. And he only took the veil off when? when he went to meet with Jesus, when he went to meet God in the tent of meeting. It says, then he took the veil off. And when he came back out again, he put it back on again. And the scripture then says a very amazing thing. If the shining face of Moses came from a covenant that only brought condemnation and death, how much more will the fragrance be from a covenant that brings forgiveness and life? How much more? It's one of those scriptures. It's a bit like Jesus when he said, do you know, when the Spirit comes, you'll do even greater things than these. And we all know the scripture and we all think, no, we won't. The scripture says, if you put it in the same metaphor, our faces will shine even more than Moses' face. I won't ask, do you believe it? Could you believe that? Could you believe that? That under the new covenant, the covenant on which we're a part, the covenant of forgiveness and hope and life, would bring a fragrance even greater than that which Moses brought? Scripture goes on to say, what have we got now? Let's have another scripture. Thanks. Okay. Let's hang on to that one a minute. So the scripture then says, therefore, we, because we have this hope, we are bold. Not covering our faces like Moses did. In other words, smash the jar. Let it out. Be bold. Let what is inside of you come out and be seen. Now we'll have that one. Thanks. And so we, with unveiled faces, having let it all go, reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Spirit. I want to tell you what a different version says. It says this: we with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord. And we are being transformed into the same image. Wow. Pick up your mirror. And you can see not yourself, but you see the face of Jesus. And the scripture says that you are being transformed. The dimmer switch is going up and up and up. You are being transformed into that image. You are disappearing, and the image of Jesus is there, and you're getting more and more like it and reflecting more of it in the mirror. We are being changed, it says, from glory to glory. We are becoming more like him. The image of him is becoming more on our face. Isn't that what you want, church? You want to be able to go out there and for people to say, I didn't meet Bill or Ben or anybody else. I met Jesus this morning. I looked into that person's face and I saw Jesus. Church, it can happen. If we will break ourselves and release the fragrance. I want to put up that other scripture now. So this is chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us, through you and me, in your story and my story, spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Listen, for we are to God the aroma of Christ. Oh, wow. The bottle is broken. The perfume has been released. It's filling more than just the room and the house like Mary's. It isn't filling the whole world like Jesus, but it's filling your world. Sorry, we haven't finished. Can we put it back up? For we are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. In other words, you are the aroma of Christ among everyone. Everyone. It doesn't matter to you. It's not your business whether the people you meet are being saved or whether they're perishing. In a sense, that's God's job. But you are still the aroma of God to both of them. Father is about something. We started with this, didn't we? Last week. I said that this message, which I'd had for quite a while, would end up in much the same pace as James's did a fortnight ago. Because that's the word of the Lord to us at this time. Not just to this church, but to the wider church. Because God is about something, and God is wanting us to get on board, like I said earlier on. He's wanting you to be a part of what he's doing. And what he's doing is asking you to release the fragrance from your life, the fragrance of Jesus that's in your life. So I'd like us to stand, please. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for the people that no longer want to be in darkness, who said, Lord, break into my darkness. We're going to pray for ourselves. First, let me just pray for those that no longer want to be in darkness. Father, I want to thank you for those that no longer want to be in that darkness that they see in their lives on the inside. I want to thank you, Father, that you can make a difference through Jesus, that you can dispel the darkness, that you can take people out of darkness and bring them into your marvelous light. And so, Father, I pray for all those that cried out to you this morning, and I pray, Father, that you would do the deal with them right now, Lord, that you would come into their lives, that they would make you Lord and Savior, and that they would see an immediate difference in their lives, Lord, in their attitudes, in the way they think, that they would see the light turned on, Lord, that when they look in the mirror again on the inside, they will see that the darkness has gone and a light, even though it may only be small, the light has come. So I pray, Father, you'd bless them. I pray, Father, that you'd meet them, that you'd save them, Lord. You draw them and make them a part of your kingdom and call them your son and your daughter. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And now, church, would you join with me? Will you take just a little notice of the jar? Will you make sure that the light is on the inside? Will you break the jar? Will you look in the mirror and see Jesus day by day? Will you release the fragrance of Christ that's within you, at home, at the shops, at the office or place of work, the hospital, wherever you go? Will you get on board with what Father is doing right now in his kingdom? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for myself, Lord, that we would take on board what you say to us, that we would long to be doing what you're doing and saying what you're saying, and that, Father, that we would indeed be the aroma of Christ in this needy, needy world, in this town, Lord, in the places that we go to, that wherever we go, the aroma of Christ might light up that place, Lord, that the fragrance may reach every person there, even though they don't know what it is. And we know, Lord, that those who are being saved will be saved. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Write it in our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.